Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armaline.
All right. Well, today, I've been doing a lot of teaching. Pastor Gary kind of wrapped it up, but I felt like I needed to do one more week more of a preach than a teach on the covenants. And you'll understand as we get there. I was rewatching Pastor Gary, did such a fantastic job talking about the new covenant. Wasn't it good? Amen. Megan, you're doing a great job. Can I just have a little more vocal? I don't want to have to push too hard. But I felt like at the very end, it's easy to look at something. That's all right. Go for it. I just don't want to miss anything. It's easy at the very end of her sermon that we could have passed over something that was so powerful. And I really feel like, man, if we can get this one thing, which is the whole New Testament, but it is one thing, that Christianity would become that, irresistible again. Remember we talked about irresistible a few weeks ago? Unfortunately, the church is pretty resistible, but God called it to be irresistible. No, it is really resistible. There are more people that don't want to go to church or leave the church, not because of the Bible necessarily, but because of church and people. Did you know that? Some of the most, and I'll be honest, and frank, I guess we should say, because we're always supposed to be honest. I hope I am, but I have met more unforgiving Christians than I have unsaved people. Anybody else want to admit to that, unfortunately? People are shaking your heads. And yet we're the ones that know we're supposed to forgive. Not only are we supposed to forgive, we're actually commanded to forgive. How does this happen when we have this word? Now, one of the things that I believe you said last week, we talk about it so much, I can't remember, but one thing we have to realize is when Jesus is talking, everybody grab a hold of Matthew 1. If you have a physical Bible, you can't do it with the other one, but everybody grab a hold of it like this. That was not around when Jesus was on the earth. It was being written. It wasn't even being written yet. Let's just go there. This Bible, even in its infancy form, was not even around until AD 200. That was the first time it was compiled and not fully compiled and agreed upon until 500 AD. So everything the disciples learn and do is by the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what that must have been like to walk around? Like we can turn to the word like, oh, what did Jesus say? Well, let's go back and we look. I wonder what it must have been like for them. I wonder what it must have been like for them when they're like, we've got this whole new idea. How do we do it? That's why I'm convinced when I read through, sometimes when you read through, I think we fail to realize they're working out what this looks like. That's why I discussed, if you weren't here, I discussed the fact that Peter loves the Lord with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, loving his neighbor, but yet even many years after, I thought it was, when you read it, it's a chapter, so you think it's not too long, but literally several years after, he's still not loving Gentiles. You know, we think, oh, Peter's so amazing. He was a racist at that moment. That's the word we would use, right? If you don't want to be with a group of people, wouldn't you call them a racist? That's not just sugarcoat. That's what he was being. And Paul had to come in. Actually, it started with God giving him a vision. And so Peter went to Cornelius's house. And if you even look at the wording, he's like, well, I suppose if I have to, that's kind of the wording. If the Holy Spirit, I guess, is going to fall on you, I guess I have no choice. I have to be with you too. That's literally what he's saying. And it's still, he would go and he would, kind of get comfortable around the Jewish people and the Gentiles. He'd get comfortable around the Gentile people then. And then other Jewish people would come from Jerusalem and he would separate himself from the Jews, from the Gentiles and only be with the Jewish people. And Paul's the one that calls him out on it, going, what are you doing, Peter? You can't do that. You're all in or you're not. So I want to, Lord, I pray that we would just, as a church, we would get this. I know we're not going to get it fully on because we think we have it, but I don't think I have it after I've studied it. So Lord, I pray that you would help us get it. Forge it in our hearts, in Jesus' name. That's what we have in that front row, right? Forging mighty ones to walk in the way of Jesus. So how many want to walk in the way of Jesus? I don't want to walk in any other way. If I get too fast, let me know. Lots of caffeine, up early, but excited. Turn to Matthew. Pastor Gary touched on this. I want to touch it again. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. This is the story of where they're trying to trick Jesus. Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, they're all trying to trick him. They're all trying to, you know, prove him wrong. They're all trying to get him to say something. That's the most amazing thing about Jesus. And do you know how he had the ability to speak like that and not get tripped up? Holy Spirit. It wasn't because he was brilliant. It was because he had the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, Paul talks about him promising different parts of the New Testament that he will be there to help you when you are confronted. Praise God. So verse 20, or 22, Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, the Old Covenant, tried to trap him with his question. Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? So he's talking about the Old Covenant. And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now listen to this line. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. You know, so often I've heard it said, you know, you've got to love people like you love yourself. And then it does take us, and it is a good point. We don't need to throw it out, but it's a good point to go, do I really love myself? You know, because if I don't love myself and I treat myself poorly, chances are you're going to treat your neighbor poorly. But did you know that's actually irrelevant and wrong? I didn't know that for so long. That's why I'm learning so much during this series. If you look at it, he's actually telling you these are summing up the Old Covenant in two commandments. He's literally taking 600 and something commands, and he's like, I'm going to sum it up, and I'm going to tell you two things. Now, it's interesting. If you take these two commandments, other than ceremonial laws and all that, if you take these two commandments, look at them with that microscope or lens, however you want to think of it, and you go through the Ten Commandments, every one of the Ten Commandments can be fulfilled with those two commandments. Because if you love God with all your heart, you're not going to have any idols. You know, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to murder. That's a good thing, right? If you love your neighbor. Yeah. You can't love your neighbor and murder them at the same time. It's cross-cultural. I'm going to step on your toes today. Is that okay? Yes. Put your seatbelt on. That's why it's good to be preached, not to teach. Maybe I won't do it yet. So if you love your neighbor, and Pastor Gary talked about it last week, that whole story of the Good Samaritan, because they try to trick him again, like, who's my neighbor then? And they go through the story of the Good Samaritan, and basically it's like, everyone's your neighbor. He's trying to get them out of Jewish mentality of going, we only minister to Jewish people. But it says the entire law. So if you love your neighbor, you don't murder them, you don't steal from them, you don't covet what they have, like, you can wrap up all the commandments in two commandments. So you're like, whew, now we're down to two. This is awesome. You know, 660-something all the way down to two. But it's not done there. Look at John 13, verse 34. I wonder what it must have been like. While you're looking, I'm going to say the first line. John 13, verse 34. It starts with this. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. So again, we read it because we know he's the savior of the world. But can you imagine at that moment when he's just Jesus, they think he's a really good, rabbi, thank you. You know, they're starting to have some revelation that he might be the son of God, but they think it's going to be different. But then he has the audacity to actually say, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Like, again, we're so used to that type of language because we've read it for so long, but he's literally saying, I'm giving you like a new commandment. He's using words, he's used covenant and commandments. That's got to be mind-blowing for them. Like, how dare you, if anybody's listening other than the disciples, how dare you add? And on top of that, they're probably like, another one? Like, seriously? Now, maybe, you know, in order, they dropped it down to two, so he's going to add a third, not too bad. But he says, now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Actually, what he was doing there, he was talking about the new command for the new covenant, right? Because he's instituting a covenant, and covenants, there's got to be some things. And we're like, okay, how heavy is this going to get? One command that's harder than almost all of them. Because he doesn't say, love your neighbor like you love yourself. So if you don't love yourself, you can love your neighbor poorly. He says, no. We're going to change it all up. I'm going to give you one simple command. And he says, love each other just as I have loved you. So thank goodness he put a standard in, because if he didn't put a standard in and we're just supposed to love our neighbor like we love ourselves, it could get really confusing, couldn't it? Because everybody loves themselves differently, so it's going to look different. So there had to be a standard, and he goes, here's the standard. I want you to love everyone, every person, like I have loved you. So therefore, as a Christian, the only way we can walk this earth and say we want to walk like Jesus is by looking at the word, which we're thankful to have, and go, Lord, am I walking the way you walked? It's the only way. It is absolutely the only way. Now, the cool thing is, he says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Now I'm going to step on your toes. I've been baffled over the last couple of years, especially the last year, of Christians, and I'm just going to say things. I have my own sin, but these are things I just got to try. I'm trying to figure out. This is where I think we've mixed old covenant with new covenant, but when I see flags that say F Trudeau flapping in the wind with a bumper sticker that says Jesus loves you, Jesus loves all these people, but F Trudeau. I don't get that, folks. Now, people will say, well, that's strong language, but, you know, he's still terribly wrong, and we don't have to honor him. Well, my Bible, and I know people get caught up in this, but I will clearly forever say the Bible says to honor those in leadership. It doesn't mean I have to agree with those in leadership, but it says to honor those in leadership. You know, it's we don't have to like everything, but we are called to love everyone. And that's the hard thing we've been trying to navigate. I talk to my kids, and I used to, as a youth pastor, go through this all the time, but to be honest with you, it doesn't matter if you're a youth pastor or a senior pastor, I hear this come out of people's mouths. You know, we love you, Lord, we praise you, and we walk out into the foyer, man, I hate that person. John, and you read it last week, says, if you are in the light, you cannot hate. Ugh. Like, we've got a lot of work to do. I think the world has looked on, and I know I feel like we've been stuck here, but I am. Brian Houston, who's Hillsong's going through a lot right now, but one thing, he wrote a declaration. He says, the church that I see, I think the only thing that maybe I would change after looking what's going on is probably we should just clarify it, the church that Jesus wants. I think anytime we say the church that I see. Now, I wouldn't have thought that before, but after just looking at a few things that they're going through, I thought, yeah, we should probably always go the church that Jesus wants. But clearly Jesus spells out the church that he wants. I was going to say the church that I see, because I dream of a church. I dream of being a person that goes to a church, because I want to be a part of it, that can love purely. Even the last week, getting ready for this message, I've been convicted because when you say, Lord, I want to be like that, he will begin to show you. He will begin to show you how you treat people that you didn't even realize it. But I want to be that person, and I want to be a part of a church that goes, you know what, this is so hard, but let's be that church. It means that everything we're used to probably has to sometimes change. You know, when that person walks in that, you know, you've criticized or hated, or, you know, you've seen the sin that they're living in, and they walk in and sit down, what are you going to do? Oh, and I hope we don't actually love them in the moment, but criticize them behind their back. Because the church is really good at that. Good word, pastor. You know, pastors are used to it. Good word, pastor, praise the Lord. And then on the way home, they get roasted. They used to say, I'm having the pastor for dinner or lunch, but they never came over. They just ate them. Now, you guys aren't like that, and I'm thankful. I don't think you're like that anyway. How would I even know? The point I'm going to go back to is that we got a lot of work to do. The church that Jesus dreams of, the church that he died and bled for. Listen, we got to get to the point where those lyrics explode in us. I do get excited sometimes if a song's written in a really poetic, you know, that song, Homecoming, is so both poetic, but it's powerful. Man, I'll tell you, I hope in the coming weeks and months that these type of words make us explode. And they were today. They were. It was good. Heaven joins with a glorious sound, and the great cloud of witnesses all gather round, because the ones that were lost are finally found. The Father is welcoming. This is our homecoming. Man, I'm excited. I hope that over the coming days, weeks, and months that we see people walk through the door that we haven't seen, or maybe they're prodigals, or maybe they're just, you never expected them to set foot in the church, but they did because you went after them. That you went and had coffee with them because you wanted to love on them. And then they decide to finally come after you've asked them 12 times and they just want you to shut up, but you just don't care. And you keep talking to them about the Lord. Not about their sin, but about the Lord and how good he is. And then they walk through the door and those words, this is the homecoming. This is the homecoming. I'm going to read a line. I read this morning. I thought, this is kind of it, Lord. This is from Dr. Al Mahler, who is the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Pastor Andy Stanley was at a conference, and he said he spoke this line, this in his message, and Pastor Andy Stanley froze because he thought, that's it. This is the problem. He said, the vast majority of people, this is Dr. Al Mahler, who's speaking this, he says, the vast majority of people who have ever been baptized by our people, the vast majority that have been baptized by our people are our own offspring. We've never been very evangelistic in terms of people who weren't those to whom we gave birth. To sum it up, he's saying, we have kept going as a denomination because we keep baptizing not new converts, we're just baptizing our family members we're birthing. So the church is growing because we're having children. I asked Pastor Gary and Pastor Claude the other day, you know, when your hour's up, if you could say, what was the thing that you dreamed of? And I was asking myself that. You know, when I don't know when I'll retire. 65 is always the age we throw around, right? So 17 years from now, ish. I asked myself that question. When I'm done, will I be satisfied just with pastoring and keeping everybody safe? Because you go through different seasons. Sometimes you want to do conferences and that would be cool. And, you know, sometimes like, man, if I could just keep everybody safe, that'd be cool. But I realized that I would be so disappointed if when I hand the baton to somebody and it's the same people, just a lot grayer. With your children and your grandchildren, I will have failed in my heart. I want to talk to you because, you know, different times people, they ask me, you know, what's revival? Do you want revival still? That's often a question. Do you still want revival? Or what is revival? Because my wording's a little different. You know, we've gone after revival and I'm still for revival, but I realize now what burns in my heart is different. I'm going to clarify it. Because so often in the church, we are service hungry people. Now we've had COVID for 2 years. We're kind of out of that right now. We've been broken of that. But there could be times where you're just like, conferences, I want to run to another conference and I'm going to go to this. And I love conferences. Listen, man, I love conferences. There's nothing like getting, you know, the worship team and a packed house. Youth conference is phenomenal. There's nothing like getting people here and worshiping and seeing the place explode. But listen, if no one gets saved and we all go back to doing the same thing until the next conference, we've missed it. What's the point? See, the Bible clearly says, why don't you turn to Acts? Turn to Matthew, and we're going to go to Acts after that. Turn to Matthew. You guys know the scripture, but the Bible clearly says what Jesus asked us to do. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, this is after he rose from the dead. He said, this is what I want you to do. I have been given all authority. He took back the keys. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands. All the commands? Love the Lord God with all your heart. Nope. Actually, it's one command. You go and love everyone like I have loved you. And you will be loving me with all your heart when you do it. Because when you do that, it honors me. Go teach them this. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the age. In Acts, turn there if you want to. I'm going quickly. You can write them down. This is Acts 1 verse 8. So just let me stop for a second, because when they heard that, it was very possible when they heard it, they thought, go into all the nations and find all the Jewish people and tell them this message. That's probably what they heard. They were not hearing Gentiles. Actually, we're going to read this, and even after this, they did not hear Gentiles. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. What are we to be? Preachers? No. Tell people of all their sin? No. I'm serious. This is what the church is notorious for. I can't believe you're doing that. We're Christians. We're better than you. We don't mean to do that most of the time. But our actions, our behaviors sometimes do that. He doesn't say that. He isn't saying go and preach to him. He actually says, be my witnesses. You know what a witness looks like that's irresistible? Oh my gosh, is your shoulder hurt? Hey, can I just pray with you for a second? Lord, I just pray that healing over your shoulder. We don't have to be wacky. Bible says I'm a lion. People do that. I'm like, what are you doing? Bible says we're to roar like a lion internally. Now, I'm going to start a new series in a couple weeks called And Not Or. That's the series, and you read it. The newsletter came out today. We're so guilty of taking one thing to the extreme instead of balancing everything. Man, we are supposed to be spiritually zealous and on fire, but we're also supposed to have wisdom. I've been in a service, scare the living daylights out of me. You know, somebody gets really enthused and it's a slow song and new believers are right there and they decide to shout at the top of their lungs in that moment. I think, I appreciate your passion, kind of. But look at the environment. Look at the environment right now. People are deep, anyway, I'm getting off track. That's where I'm going, because I think that we have so many things that are and spiritually zealous and wisdom, passion and wisdom, all right? It's okay to be passionate, but man, you gotta know the timing. Okay, Acts, we're talking about, and you will be my witnesses. Telling people everywhere, and look at this, in Jerusalem, got that, Jewish people. Judea, got that, Jewish people. Samaria, uh-oh. They're like half, I guess I can do that, and to the ends of the earth. Oh, okay, let's go back and find the Jews. But that's not what he meant. He was so serious about it because the disciples, even though they heard all this, weren't doing it. That's why he actually got Saul and radically got him saved. He became Paul, and he's the guy that went after the Gentiles, which is a phenomenal story. We don't have to get into it right now, but he's the guy that God used to go, disciples, you're not doing it. So let's get Paul here because Paul's so crazy. He is so crazy about everything he does. He'll do it. If I tell him to, he'll do it. And that's what he does. It's awesome. Still with me?
Yeah. I might have to say something.
When we're done, okay? Because I got to keep my thought. So it says, love like I have loved. Go into all the nations and make disciples. So these are some of the things I wrote. If we have services but no one is getting saved, we're missing it. Now, I know we're not going to see everybody get saved. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I hope every week eventually we get see somebody get saved. I hope eventually that we get this so deep inside that people go, man, you have changed so much. You are loving people so much. I just want to find out what's going on. Can I hang with you? If we spend all our time trying to see each other healed as our prophecies come true, we've missed it. What do I mean by that? A lot of times we have the same people on the line week after week. I love the fact that we can pray for you up on this line. I love the fact that we can prophesy. I have a book full of prophecies, and sometimes I get like, oh, I could use another prophetic word, and I'm like, I have so many prophetic words yet to be fulfilled. Why do I need another one? And a lot of times, I'll just be honest, I'm stepping on toes. We get to be like prophetic junkies. We just want another prophetic word. I'm like, have you done the other 4, 6, 8 that you got? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, if we're coming to line now, there are some serious things that need to be healed. But if that's all we do every week, we're just like a club. But I'll tell you, man, somebody new walks up with you alongside of you because you brought them and they've never encountered Jesus. And they walk to this line because they felt God's heart pounding, like their heart pounding, and they get touched. This is our homecoming. That's what it's about. Again, don't get me wrong. I love all this stuff, but it's got to be a means to an end. There's a purpose behind it. And I think the church gets caught up in just wanting to have meetings. I want to have both and not or, right? Kind of jumping in my next series. If we can't sit with a friend or a family member and share what the Lord has done in our lives and how he loves you and he's changed you, if we can't do that, we've missed it. But when you can get to the place and you go, man, why am I excited about Jesus? Is it because the Bible tells you you're supposed to be or because you really are? I want to get to the point, and I believe I am, and I'm not always there, but if they didn't have this for 200 years, at no point could they go, because the Bible told me so. The B-I-B-L-E. There was no B-I-B-L-E. So why were they excited? Because they met and encountered Jesus. Disciples did it in the flesh, but they did it after through people and encountering Jesus. And so, you know, sometimes I'll be like, you know, why do I want to tell my neighbor? Do I want to tell my neighbor to come to church because Jay told me to tell them? Or do you want to tell your neighbor because your life is so full of both challenges but the presence of God that you want to tell them how God is helping you through and you would love for them to experience Jesus? Because I think we're in a season that if your life is all hunky-dory and that's what you're waiting for to tell people about Jesus, you may never ever tell people about Jesus, right? It's a challenging world that we live in. It just keeps getting weirder. But a lot of times people want to tell people about their sin and get them to church so they can get rid of their sin. I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't do that with me. I'm so thankful that he doesn't. I was thinking of it this way. Can you imagine? And I got convicted when I said it. Can you imagine if every morning I wake up and Jesus is at my bedside ready to tell me what I did wrong yesterday? And as I wrote that, I thought, oh, I kind of do that with my kids. Hey, you didn't do the dishes yesterday. You didn't do your chores. What? I'm like, oh, I do that with my kids. But I'm so thankful that I don't wake up and Jesus is there. We got to talk. But I am grateful that he's there to say, let's love. Amen. I wrote this, I want to be revived so I can help others live. Here's the thing about revival. If you've never been alive, you can't be revived. So revival really is for the church. Now, what is happening right now as I preach? You hopefully are being revived. What are you being revived in? I hope you're being revived to go, man, God is good. His new covenant is good. He is really amazing. I got to tell people about him. That's one of the things I hope you be revived in. I was writing things I want. I want the life of Jesus to be so irresistible in me that it actually draws others around me. I want Jesus to be so irresistible in me that it draws people to want to be around me. I want others to realize I am a work in progress. Anybody else want to say amen to that to you? Amen. Not to me. Put your hand on your heart and say, I'm a work in progress. But I think one of the biggest things we've done as pastors is we've tried to make it look like we have our life all together. And then when something happens, everybody's like, oh my gosh, you don't practice what you preach. I am a saint, my friends. Ryan, you know me. Why are you laughing so loud? Let me clarify. We're not hanging anymore. You know why I'm a saint? Because Jesus said I was a saint. I'm a saint because he paid for my righteousness, not me. That makes me a saint. There is no other way. So I can literally say I'm a saint. But I sometimes fall short. And I need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for falling short, man. I just want to go after your whatever it is. If it's anger, Lord, I fell short of peace. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with peace and give me opportunities to grow in peace. If you're a newlywed and you're having children, don't pray that prayer because then you usually have multiple children. You want more peace? Here you go. Practice. So I wrote, I want others to realize I'm a work in progress. I make mistakes. I fall short. I sin. I wrote, I fall short. And that's easy to say, isn't it? But if we say I sin, that's what sinning is, falling short. But it feels so much harder when you say I sin. Yeah, sometimes I fall short. I don't always make perfect leadership choices or treat people the way that they should be treated. But every day Jesus is loving on me and changing me. And I believe every day I look and act a little more like him. That's what I believe Jesus is doing in us. I already wrote this. 17 years from now, if we're not seeing new people, it's just our children, I've missed it. If I have not taught you the new covenant, the love of Jesus, and how to love like others, I've missed it. We often talk about fivefold ministry, evangelistic and missional. We want that part of us so we can go and see people saved. Now, here's the cool thing. Remember how they had to get Paul? Saul had to become Paul because they weren't doing what they're called to do? This is what I think God did in the world, and it's natural. It's going to happen. But he said, go into all the nations. Waiting. Go into all the... Okay, it's not working. Bring all the nations to you. Because wherever you go right now, almost in any place in the world, the nations are around you. So you're just your job got easier. You don't have to even travel half the time. Now, some of you are true missionaries and have countries on your heart, but listen, there are people all around us. Some of you have like deer in the headlight look. Teaching and discipline, part of the fivefold ministry, so people can be grounded in the word and in love and in the new covenant. Pastoring, Groups, we want to get into groups. Why? So people can be cared for and find a home. Apostolic and reformers, this is what we should be moving from so we can go into all the world with a servant's heart and love to see families and systems restored and rebuilt. Education systems, government systems. But we have failed over the last 2 years so horribly with that that most people are like, I want nothing to do with you. Because we haven't gone with love in the heart of Jesus. I'm afraid right now, step on toes, you know, we try to make Trump a savior. Even Canadians. But now we're picking a new savior. His name's Elon Musk. Because he bought Twitter, freedom of speech. I think, don't we get it? There is a savior, and there's only been ever one savior. And he is the only one that can change the world. Us working with him. Now, do I think it's a bad idea? I'm not saying it's a good or bad idea. I'm just saying when we get off of Jesus and onto people, if you get onto me, I will fail you. I'm going to tell you right now, if you look up to me to be your savior, I will fail you because there's only one savior. His name's Jesus. You get close enough to me, you may find things you don't like. Not many. But the reality is we're all a work in progress. But the biggest thing I keep going back to is Jesus says, love like I have loved you. So I am beginning to go, Lord, what does it look like in this situation? I got to find it in here. I have the privilege of having a Bible. And if I can't find it, Holy Spirit, what does it look like? There are some things that we're dealing with in society today that are not clearly written about in here. That's why literally this is what he looks like. He's like, this is the command. Go and love like I have loved. And the rest of this is trying to map out what that looks like. And unfortunately, we've got it wrong at times. Oh, I have time to do this. Here, real quick, let me show you where we accidentally got it wrong. Go to Ephesians. And you know how simple this is that we got it wrong. So this is how we mix things up. When the Bible was written, it was not the Bible, it was letters. Turn to Ephesians 5. It was letters, right? Everybody knows that, right? This is a letter to Ephesus. This is a letter. So it's just one long letter. Now, to make our life easier, and thankfully, they made it into chapters to break it up. And thankfully, they put numbers for verses. None of that was in there. So I don't have to go, okay, remember, open your Bibles to the fourth part of that letter. It's somewhere, like we have the ability to do it. So turn to Ephesians 5, verse 22. So this is what I mean by the rest of the Bible is trying to figure out how to walk out, love your neighbor as I have loved you. Love people as I have loved you. This is trying to work it out. But this is unfortunately where we get it mixed up. How many people between verse 21 and 22 have a title? Raise your hand if it's in your Bible or on your phone, actually, most phones. If it says something like marriage, Christ in the church. That's not many people, really. Oh, cool. Okay. Do you guys know where I'm at? Ephesians 5. 21, 22. A lot of Bibles, written Bibles, have a title right there. Okay? 22 is what's often quoted at marriages. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. That's often quoted, right? Marriage counseling, hey, submit to your husband. I've done it. I've read that and went, that it is a godly thing. But here's the thing. It actually says in the original, it says, wives, to your own husbands as to the Lord. They don't put the word submit in. Now, here's why. Because it's implied from the verse before that. They don't have to use the verb again. I don't know how they write like that. But let's look at verse 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God, wives to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then it goes on and it says later on, men, let me get down to it. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Why am I saying all this? Because a lot of times we want to just say, hey, submit to me. What does that verse come from? It's about loving everyone like Jesus loved. And so the verse before says, submitting to one another. And he's going to go on to say, look it, this is what he goes on to say. I told you to love everyone like I've loved you. That means submitting to one another. This is what it looks like. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wife like I love the church. I died for the church. So you need to do that too. That's a little different than submit to me, which is what the church has functioned in for a long time. Come on, are you just... Colossians, there's no male nor female. There's no Gentile or Jew. We're all one now. And yet look at the division that's happened. I am convinced that if we truly walk this out, people would be like, man, I want a marriage like that. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It looks like this, like when I really screwed up with my son, or probably both because I do it often. It looks like the next day, hey, I'm really sorry. It was completely wrong of me. I had to humble myself. I find as they're teenagers, I have to do it more often because it's sometimes volatile. Anybody else amen to that? It's not because I don't love the Lord. It's not because I'm not trying to love them. I'm trying to figure it out. It sounds like 70 years of the New Testament. Wrapped up in 20 years. But sometimes I mess up and I got to go back, and because the Lord will say, that's not really loving your children like we're talking about here, Jay. Oh, do I have to? Yes. Caleb, I'm sorry. That was wrong. That actually is more attractive and irresistible. Because people then go, oh, so you're human too? Yes. Oh, so you apologize? Yes. You blow it? Yes. Several times a day. But I'm getting better. I don't want to make that mistake. My whole point to this was, I'm not saying that was incorrect. I'm just saying sometimes our little numbers and titles mix up what we're trying to say. Because he was just simply saying, look at marriage is submitting to one to another. That's what marriage is. Marriage is most beautiful when it functions together. Man, I love my wife. She was so cute up here doing announcements. So we're talking about, your little foot was going, it was really cute. You should come out to this. Come on.
I think I'm not doing announcements ever again.
Just try to be real. I have to apologize for that when I get home. I'm sorry, honey. That was just so cute. I'm sorry. I can't do that, can I? I can't apologize with the why I did it. I'm sorry. We were going on vacation, leaving tomorrow. Apparently, we're on separate vacations now. I was saying that because I actually love when she does announcements. She does it with a lot of joy. Doesn't she? She's smiley. She is full of life. But there's so many things that I actually submit to her on. Absolutely. Man, when it comes to finances... We work together on it, but sometimes I'm like, oh, run that number again because I have no clue. Show me. Tell me. She's a researcher. I hate research. Got to get a new fridge. So she's been researching. I'm like, praise God for my wife. Because I'm studying the word and she's doing fridge research. Thank God. The church is called to be attractive. And we're getting there. Amen. Let me end with this. He said, love like I have loved you. Tell the world about me. What is that love? No strings attached. You know that? Jesus loved without strings attached. Remember the old covenant? If you, I will. Aren't you thankful that when he washed the disciples' feet, he's like, I'm doing this for you, so you will do this for me. Actually, he said it kind of like that, but it had nothing to do with him. He was basically like, I'm going to wash your feet. I may have to do that after anyway, so I'll just do it now. I'm going to wash your feet, and by the way, go do this to everybody else as well. Washing someone's feet with your own garments is pretty humbling, and Jesus did it. Dying on a cross, almost completely naked, with wounds in your hand and bleeding, and everybody watching is completely humiliating. And yet so often, as Christians, we want to be elevated. We need to be humbled sometimes. No strings attached. No, if you, then I will. He loved the broken. He loved the outcast. Man, he sat with people that were alcoholics, that were partying, and he just loved on them. There's so much I could say, but so often we're so afraid because in the Old Testament, it's like, that stuff's going to jump on us. No. Man, if you don't have that solid conviction, don't go out there. But it's like, no, it's not going to jump on me. I'm going to love on them, and it's going to jump on them. Because if we're always afraid to be around people, how will the world know? Love the broken, love the outcast. Love the famous as well. Sometimes they're hard to love as well. Treat women with equal respect. Treat every person, male, female, every nation, every gender with equal respect. And sometimes that means with the culture that we live in right now, we have to figure out, because, you know, biggest thing is we have multiple genders. How do we love them? They're sinners. Well, you know, if God can love me every day, I have to figure out how to love them. I'm so thankful that God doesn't go, I'm over there, and when you get all cleaned up, I'll come over. Gosh, I'm so thankful for that. Do you remember the time? I don't know if you even remember. Conference, big moment, and we fight. And then I got to get up and lead worship. Like, we're fighting. Were we fighting out there or in the car? And we don't usually fight, but we're fighting. Like, not fist fighting, but we're like, oh, like angry. And I'm steaming and she's steaming. And then we're like supposed to walk out. Hey, we're going to worship. This is how we praise the Lord. So I think I did one song and I thought, I can't do this. I'm a hypocrite if I do. So luckily, somebody came up to open. I'm like, I'm sorry. Okay, I can go worship now. Praise God. I had the opportunity to do that. But I'm like, remember what Jesus said? Leave your gift at the altar and go make it right. I had to do that because my gift was worship in that moment, and I had to go make it right. But that's not wrong. That's not actually living below what we're supposed to. That is living the way we're supposed to. So often we think, well, we blew it. Yeah, that's part of living the Christian life. We're going to make mistakes. The awesome part is we go and make it right. And thankfully, her heart was there too. She's like, I'm so glad you came down. We were able to work it out and quickly forgive and smooch and then get back up. Yes, I kissed her in church. Can you take 2 more minutes and then I'm going to close? Because I said this Bible wasn't written. We have to understand that. And so often I see, and I'm even trying to teach my kids so often, you know, If you're confronted with why don't you, you know, kids are like, well, I'm not supposed to. The Bible tells me I'm not supposed to. You know what? That doesn't really work for people. I was thinking of it this way. If I'm somewhere and somebody goes, hey, man, there's a girl looking at you. You know, your wife's not around. Why don't you cheat on your wife? I can't. I signed a marriage contract. I said I did. I do. But wouldn't that be sad? Like, the only thing you can think of is that you put your name down to a marriage contract and that's why you won't. And if we start thinking differently, like love, well, I don't because I love my wife dearly. And if I do, that will break my love connection and potentially my covenant. And I love her so much that I would never want to bring harm to her. It's not because the Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me to love. And in this moment, love looks like not cheating. In every moment. Not this moment. But that's the context, right? Every situation has a context. So I was trying to think, you know, what do kids say today? Well, I don't do drugs because the Bible tells me not to. I don't get hammered because the Bible tells me not to. No, is that really what you're going to say? Or are you going to say, no, I choose not to because I want to be fully in control. And if I'm out of control, it's very likely that I may hurt someone or hurt myself, and I may be out of control. And that's not responsible, it's not wise, and I'd rather not. Now, are there things that the Bible says not to? Yes, but if you look at why, it's because we're probably hurting someone or hurting ourselves, and you say, well, what if I don't hurt anybody? I guarantee if you think deep enough and hard enough, there's somebody you're hurting, and most likely it's probably yourself. You following me? Because this was not written, so they couldn't say, well, the Bible said, Paul's letter said. No, they're like, Holy Spirit is working in me. And actually, I totally felt freedom to go do it, and I went to do it, and Holy Spirit said no. And so I had to go, oh, okay, Not even sure why, but Holy Spirit lives in me, so I'm not going to do it. And what is the number one thing? Because we love people. I'm kind of rambling, so I apologize, but I hope this has made sense. So what does revival look like to me? Part of revival to me, man, don't you long for the day? Why don't you stand while I'm saying this so then I close? Yes, I will do that. Don't you long for the day? Ryan, don't you long? Because I know we've been talking about somebody. That an altar call is given, whether they're at their seat or at the front. And maybe that song's playing, and they run to the front and start singing, "This is my homecoming." Don't you long for that? People that you know are broken, hurting, desperate, or just normal people that live a good life that without Jesus will still go to hell. Because sometimes we always focus on this, but I know people in my life that are phenomenal people that still do not know Jesus. They have biblical principles operating in their life. That's why they've lived a good life, but they still do not recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior, have never confessed him to be their Lord and Savior, and will most likely, unless the Lord intervenes, they would go to hell. Because it's not based on what we do. If it is, we're all doomed. We got to get back to that. I am not righteous on my own ways. It's Jesus that made me righteous. But I long for that when there's moments. I long for conferences when we get so excited and powered up and go out there and see it happen. And then see them come in because they've just experienced a love through healing. Maybe they experienced love because of finances, because you're there and you're like, there's a need. I'm going to love. Boom, you can pay for their meal. You can pay for something. Like, there's so many ways to love.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.